Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, and this is the Leadership That Gets the Job Done podcast, episode number 72. Because if you don't get the job done, then you're not providing good leadership. Our Bible passage for this episode is Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13, which says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality." Our Leadership That Gets the Job Done quote for this episode is from President Harry S. Truman. He said, "Men make history and not the other way around. In periods where there is no leadership, society stands still. Progress occurs when courageous, skillful leaders seize the opportunity to change things for the better." Dear friends, in this podcast, we are using three books on the seminary level as our text: Spiritual Leadership, Moving People On to God's Agenda by Henry and Richard Blackaby, a wonderful title; Everyone Communicates, Few Connect by Dr. John Maxwell; and Organizational and Management Leadership, A Christian Perspective by Dr. Anita Satterley. Our topic for today is part 15 of chapter 3, The Leader's Preparation, How God Develops Leaders or Servants, Ministers, is a better term. Pardon me. From Spiritual Leadership, Moving People On to God's Agenda by Dr. Henry Blackaby and Dr. Richard Blackaby, they continue, "God gives the assignment. People may become leaders by responding in a healthy manner to all they encounter in life, but they will not become spiritual leaders unless God calls them to the role and equips them for it. Secular leadership is something to which people can aspire. It can be achieved through sheer force of will. Spiritual leadership, on the other hand, is not a position for which one applies." And this is so true. "Rather, it is assigned by God Almighty. God determines each person's assignment. Historically, God has chosen ordinary people who were not looking for a divine assignment," and that is so true. And if you don't believe that, read your Bible for yourself. And I'm adding that part. Nevertheless, God saw something in their hearts that led him to assign particular tasks. While there is nothing wrong with wanting to experience God working powerfully in one's life, those wishing for God to use them mightily should not covet leadership positions in God's kingdom. It doesn't work that way. You must be called to do it by God. And I'm adding that part. They should seek God with all their hearts and wait upon His will. The greatest area of concern for spiritual leaders is their hearts. Their hearts. We just got through, and I'm adding this part, we just got through reading about David before he became king. And I believe one of the reasons why God called him a man after his own heart is that David was extremely humble. He never thought highly of himself, but he thought highly of God. And that's why he became great. God called him to do that. When God sees people living righteously, he may exercise his prerogative to show himself strong in their lives to accomplish his purposes. Biblical example, Abraham. Abraham's life provides a thorough example of how God chooses ordinary people and turns them into effective spiritual leaders. Abraham was an ordinary person. He was not great before God made him great. Abraham was born in Ur among the moon-worshipping Chaldeans. Abraham's agenda for his life was probably uncomplicated. He likely planned to live out his days raising his herds and flocks. His wife Sarah was unable to bear children. So parenthood would not factor into Abraham and Sarah's plans. God's agenda was radically different from Abraham's. God's plan for Abraham was not for him to live a settled life without children, but that he become a nomadic patriarch who fathered a holy nation. His life would be a spiritual example to God's people for thousands of years. The Messiah would be Abraham's descendant. That is the Messiah for the whole world, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Abraham's life would prove to be a pivotal point in history. Generations of believers would find inspiration and eternal salvation because of his life. To say that God's plans dwarfed Abraham's plans would be an understatement of all time. The key was not for God to bless Abraham's plans, but for Abraham to discard his life plans and goals. His life plans and goals in favor of God's will. God called him. It is not surprising, since God had so much in store for Abraham, he took time to thoroughly prepare him. Spiritual leadership, if you will, does not happen by accident. It occurs as God develops people's character as well as their relationship with him. This is so powerful and so true. I believe the Blackaby boys are getting down on this right here. I really do. I like this real good because it's based upon the Word of God. This is good stuff. It occurs as God develops people's character as well as their relationship with Him. And Dr. Jim Collins notes, most overnight success stories are about 20 years in the making or more. The characteristics God builds into spiritual leaders over time include wisdom, integrity, honesty, and moral purity. A proper relationship with God involves faith, obedience, and love for Him, and may I add, a mature transparency of life. Although God often used people who appeared to be the least likely candidates for true leadership, the common denominator was these people had godly character, and may I add, installed by God, and they walked closely with Him. The larger God's assignment, the greater the character, and the closer the relationship with God is required. Glory be to God, is all I can say. And if the Lord tarries His coming, and we live, we will continue this important subject and others. So until next time, my beloved, let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise You and we thank You so much for what You have done, for what You are doing, for what You will do. Thank You for this powerful, even devotional episode of the podcast about leadership that gets the job done. Help us to remember it. Help us to think on it and help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for His sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you happened upon us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and the free pardon of your sins, here's how you can trust Him as your Savior today and be saved from sin, a miserable life, and from hell to heaven. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. So have I. Welcome to the club. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of sin. We die spiritually because of sin, and we go to hell. Our soul goes to hell if we never trust Christ as Savior. That leads me to my third point. Accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell right now. If you have never believed on Jesus Christ at some point in your life for your salvation, we're not talking about church membership, we're not talking about shaking the preacher's hand or the right hand of fellowship or even getting baptized. None of those things will save you. Except the fact that you're on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. God does not want you to go to hell. In fact, God did not create hell for you. He created hell for the devil and his angels. That's the bad news. Hell is the bad news. But I have some good news for you, uttered by the same Jesus Christ who told you about hell. Jesus Christ said, for God so loved the world, that includes you, that He gave His only begotten Son, His name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in Him, who trusts in Christ, should not perish, that is, in hell, but have everlasting life in heaven with God. All you have to do, dear friend, is just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved from going to hell. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, dear friend, if you want to be saved today, believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and pray and ask him to save you. And I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. I prayed it some 40 years ago, and my life has never been the same. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have broken your commandments and your laws. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins, all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Help me to repent of my sins past and help me to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend, may God bless you and keep you, is my prayer.